A few months ago, I got a wake-up call. I was on a train heading out of Sydney to Katoomba, and I wasn't really paying attention because I knew that the train terminated at Katoomba. What I didn't know was that the train would immediately turn around and go straight back to Sydney. So I was working away on my studies, busy with my own thing, and I didn't realize that we'd arrived at Katoomba. One by one, the people all got off the train. I was still oblivious in my seat. Eventually, there was only one lady left on the train. She got up out of her seat, walked over to the stairs, and then she stopped and came over to me. "Do you realize this train is about to go straight back to Sydney?" I hadn't realized. I hadn't even realized that I'd reached my destination. I needed a wake-up call. I grabbed all my stuff in a panic, jumped off the train, and a minute later the doors closed and the train left, back the way it had come. I thanked the lady profusely. Her wake-up call had saved the day. I'd been too busy with my own stuff, too focused on myself, and I would have ended up heading in completely the wrong direction. The book of Haggai begins with a wake-up call. God's people had been too busy on their own thing, too focused on themselves, and they'd ended up heading in completely the wrong direction. As we'll see, they started out with the best intentions, just like me. I'd got on the train to Katoomba. They'd started to build God's temple, but also like me, they got distracted. Too focused on looking out for themselves. And by the time we get to Haggai, the temple project had been abandoned for years and years. So God sends Haggai with a wake-up call, a clear, crisp call to stop living for themselves and to live for God. It was a wake-up call for God's people back then, and it's a wake-up call for us as well, to stop living for ourselves and to live for God. Don't get so focused on your own thing that you end up going in completely the wrong direction. Our gracious Father, we've heard your word. Now as we think through it, please change our hearts. Amen. Haggai begins with a bang, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" He lets them have it. "You say you don't have time for God, and yet you seem to have plenty of time for building your own nice houses, working on your own career, looking out for yourself. You've built beautiful houses for yourselves, but the house of God is still a ruin." Before we get too far, let's work out what's going on here. Why is the prophet Haggai suddenly popping up telling people to rebuild the temple? How did we get here? Let's rewind. More than a century before this, God's people were living in the promised land. But they rejected God, they turned to evil and injustice, so God exiled them. He sent them away from their land. And in the exile, the temple was destroyed. Now this is a big deal. Much bigger than we often realize. See, the temple was where God lived among his people. We could preach a year's worth of sermons on this, but let's do the canned version. Right at the start of the Bible, when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, what they lost was the presence of God. God with them, living with them, walking among them. So the temple is a big deal because with the temple, God once more lives among his people. With the temple, the people can come to meet God again. Israel were special for no other reason but that God lived among them. They were his people. His dwelling place on earth, the temple, was in their midst. The temple represents relationship with God. But in the exile, the temple was destroyed. The people rejected God, so he rejected them. The very sign of his presence with them burned to the ground. So many decades later, when they returned from exile, when God brought them back, they got to work on the temple straight away. Why wouldn't they? But a year in, there was some opposition, a few setbacks. They got sidetracked. Just like me on the train, they lost sight of where they were going. Before they knew it, 14 years had passed with no building at all. And just like that, they were living for themselves. They abandoned the temple project. They abandoned the presence of God among them. They abandoned their relationship with God. They needed a wake-up call. If you have a chance this week, read the first six chapters of the book of Ezra, because it has the story. Haggai even makes an appearance. You can look out for him. So the temple was a ruin. The people had abandoned the building project for years. And that's when Haggai arrived on the scene. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. After 14 years, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses, while this house remains a ruin? That's his wake-up call. It's a reality check. He gets stuck into them. Enough is enough. You've got sidetracked. You've been busy with your own houses. You've been looking out for number one, but you haven't had time for God. It's past time to rebuild the temple. It's past time to remember your relationship with God. Haggai's giving them a wake-up call, but actually, let's read on. God has already given them a wake-up call. Verse 5. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. God says, give careful thought to your ways. Think about what you're doing. You've been looking after yourself. You've been busy with your own business. But how's that going for you? Is it everything you wanted? You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You're stuffing money into a bag with holes in the bottom. We're only up to verse 6. God, through Haggai, is letting them have it. Their priorities are all wrong, so now their lives are going wrong. This is the wake-up call. Stop living for yourselves. Live for God. Living for yourselves isn't even working out for you anyway. You're stuffing money into a bag with holes in the bottom. How's that for a metaphor for life? Oof. Stop living for yourselves. Live for God. We have to pause here. We're still talking about the Old Testament. We haven't really got to ourselves yet. We haven't got to Jesus and the New Testament. But I'm already feeling it. I don't know about you. Haggai said these words 2,500 years ago, but from that distance I can feel the sting of the rebuke. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You're stuffing money into a bag with holes in the bottom. He could be talking about modern Australia. The things that we chase. We look after number one, thinking that's the way to be satisfied. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Just like me on that train. If I'd stayed lost in myself, what would have happened? I'd have ended up heading directly away from where I wanted to go. The things that we fill our lives with. Maybe this will be the thing that fills me up. Maybe this will be the thing that makes me happy. We're too busy building our own houses to realize how futile it is. Self-focus is not the way to satisfaction. Stop living for yourselves. It doesn't work anyway. Live for God. Let's move on. God calls them out of their selfishness, their self-focused lives, and back to him. Verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house. Why? So that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. It's time to remember who they are. It's time to build the temple. It's time to honor God. God calls them out of their self-focus and back to him. You've spent long enough on yourselves. Come back to me and build my house. But what's the reason that he gives? Why should they build God's dwelling place? Did you see? Verse 8. So that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. See, living for yourself is futile. It doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. Living for God is better for us. But there's more to it than that. We don't only live for God because it's better for us. We don't even live for God primarily because it's better for us. We live for God to honor him. We have to pause again and think about ourselves. The meaning that you will not find in living for yourself, the purpose that you will not find in self-focus, that meaning and purpose you will find in living for God to honor him. But forget meaning and purpose for a minute. God is God. He made this universe with the word of his mouth. When he steps forward, the mountains melt. He's our mighty Savior who defeated sin and death on our behalf, and he wants to live with you. Live your life to honor him. Live to honor the mighty, creative, loving, terrible, all-glorious King. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. This is God's wake-up call to his people. I am your God, and I am prepared to live here among you. Enough seeking to honor yourselves. Live to honor me. Stop living for yourselves. Live for God. Let's keep going. God has one more thing to say. He shows them how futile their lives are, and then he's called them back to live for him. But now he's not going to give them a choice. Read verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. It's God's right to be honored, and he knows that his people need him. He knows they're going in the wrong direction, so he'll keep calling louder and louder so they can't ignore it until they come back to him. God's desire is to richly bless his people. We'll see that clearly later in the book of Haggai. But for now, he's taken away those blessings. Why? Because they're busy with their own houses, while God's house, the temple, remains a ruin. Remember what the temple represents. God's presence with them. Restoration of the blessings of Eden, relationship with God, that's what they're neglecting. And God will not let it go on forever. God is active in seeking his people, and if they ignore him, he'll just keep turning up the volume. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you did bring home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. God is calling. Stop living for yourself. Live for God. We've already talked about ourselves a bit. I've jumped the gun. I couldn't resist. But now let's think carefully about how this applies to us. When we read the Old Testament, it's important to think carefully about how we apply it to ourselves. We do read the Old Testament as God's word, every word of it. But we do need to consider carefully the difference that Jesus makes. For this passage, I think there's a few key differences. Firstly, we don't need a physical temple anymore. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God has given us his Holy Spirit. He lives in us and among us. He doesn't need a physical building to have a dwelling place because he lives in us. In fact, the New Testament goes so far as to tell us that we as people are the new temple. We are the living bricks that make up God's dwelling place here on earth. So we don't need a physical temple. Secondly, I also really believe in God's grace, this community, this church, is not a ruin. I believe that. Be encouraged. We'll talk about this more next week, but this is a place where many live to honor God. And I really believe that in His grace and despite our weakness, this is a place that pleases and honors God. So we don't need a physical temple. On the one hand, that's great. To answer God's call, we don't need to build a temple. To live for God, we don't need a building project. But on the other hand, even though God lives with us, we are just as capable of ignoring Him. And despite the healthiness of this community, it's not perfect. It isn't. And we all need a wake-up call sometimes. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Or, we might say, is it time for you to be looking out for number one and neglecting your relationship with God? How are your priorities? Are you more worried about your house, your career, your hobbies, than living to honor God? Do you say, maybe next year I'll have more time for the church? Or do you feel like you're earning wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it? Listen to the wake-up call. Stop living for yourselves. Live for God. Looking out for number one isn't going to work anyway. Running the rat race isn't going to give you fulfillment and satisfaction. Living for God is the only place you're going to find fulfillment. And give up chasing fulfillment altogether. Live for God to honor Him. He is our great Savior, King, and God. Whatever you do with your life, make it something that pleases and honors Him. Stop living for yourself. Live for God. There's one little bit of our passage left. Haggai delivers his wake-up call, and the response is amazing. It's everything you wish it could be. This is verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. They hear the wake-up call. They obey. It says they feared the Lord. Everything else is back in its place. God is their priority again. It's a model response. May we always be as quick to listen. But there's something even better. See what God says. I am with you. I am with you. And He stirs up their spirits so they can begin the work. God wants them to live for Him, and He empowers that life. Back then, God was with them. He stirred up their spirits. But for us, God has given us His Spirit. God wants us to live for Him, and He empowers that life. Hear the wake-up call. Just like them, don't muck around. Come straight back. Fear God. He is with you. He has given you His Spirit. Stop living for yourselves. Live for God. That's Haggai's wake-up call. It's a challenge that reaches across 25 centuries. Stop living for yourself. Live to honor God in the power of His Holy Spirit. You weren't made to build your own little empire. You were made to live with God and honor Him. Don't waste your life on selfishness. Live for God. Throw your time, your money, your love, your creativity into that, into Him. And it's not hard to start. God is with us. There are opportunities everywhere. When we gather here on Sunday to build each other up, we live to honor Him. Wherever we meet together in His name, we live to honor Him. When you live your life boldly, like Jesus makes a difference, you live to honor Him. When you tell others the hope that you have, when we bring others to join us in the church, we live to honor Him. When you volunteer at the Uniting Church Soup Kitchen, you live to honor Him. When you support our gospel partners, you live to honor him. When you go to youth group or small group, when you bring your friends to youth group or small group, you live to honor him. When you pray for your brothers and sisters, when you offer hospitality, when you read the Bible together, when you share your lives, share your burdens, mourn together, laugh together, pray together, sing together, you live to honor him. Stop living for yourselves. Learn the joy of living for God. God is calling. In Haggai, he gives us a wake-up call. And there's more to the story, of course. This is just the start of Haggai. But to get to the rest, you have to answer the call. Come back. Live your life to honor God. For now, there's only one thing you need to do. Today, this week, this year, answer the call. Stop living for yourselves. Live for God. In the power of his Holy Spirit and for the honor of his holy name, live for God. Our great Father, we don't have a physical temple here that we're building, but we thank you more than words can say that you've given us your Holy Spirit and you're building us like living bricks into a house for yourself. Lord, we want to give up living for ourselves and live our lives to honor you. Amen.